So, hi Daniel. Thanks very much for joining me today, and I hope you're keeping well.
Hi, thanks for having me. I am. Hope the same for you.
Thank you so much. So my first question, I suppose, is about how grief sparked your creativity at age 10. Would you like to tell us more about this peculiar experience?
So, growing up, my family was, we were all pretty close. And in fact, a lot of my aunts and uncles actually still live on the same street here in Baltimore, Maryland. And I was, for whatever reason, got really close with my cousin, Anthony, who happened to have cystic fibrosis. And I think there was like this mutual kind of understanding between us since I was born with a heart condition. So I think there's just this innate kind of camaraderie that we shared. And also, I looked up to him as kind of an older brother figure because I was the oldest in my family. And unfortunately, as we got older, when he was 14, he ended up going into a coma and was in that state for a few months and finally ended up passing away only 10 days before my 11th birthday. And it was a shock beyond belief, especially at that age. And it was such a tough time to have to go through that earlier to that point in my life, I was, I had that creative inkling and I can remember kind of making stories up and things just for the fun of it. But that was to me the transition point of seeing how deep writing can be and creativity can be, and also how much it can help heal and have this like cathartic kind of sensibility to it. So it really helped me kind of express myself in ways in which I wasn't comfortable doing out loud or saying to others, from that point kind of going forward.
Wow, that's really beautiful. The cathartic description is very apt as well. Well, in 2018, you went back and pursued your creative dream. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, so in 2018, I kind of got shocked back into the creative space, for lack of a better word. With the heart condition that I had, I switched cardiologists, and the one I'd seen that year kind of told me, well, we thought you weren't going to need surgery until maybe you were in your 50s or 60s or at all. And now we're like, oh, yeah, you're going to have to get it in a couple years. So it was this really scary moment of saying, like, oh man, I'm going to have to get heart surgery soon. I know it's pretty commonplace, but there's still risk factors involved. So I just kind of looked back and realized that while I was being successful in just video just in general, I wasn't expressing myself creatively at all. And so I finally pushed really hard back into that space and made a short film in late 2018, early 2019. And then from there, just started trying to like figure out ideas for movies, writing things, and kind of looking back at the poetry I'd been writing over the last few years and started kind of moving the trains to get that creativity back in the right place. Because I kind of just ignored it for a long time.
And what was your secret to working your way from nothing to a wedding video company worth $100,000?
So I really took kind of a risk back in, gosh, that would have been 2013, 2014. I was actually working at a place just doing real estate photos of all things. And it was just not a great job. And I saw where there could be an opening, especially in Baltimore at that time, for higher end wedding videography. And so I reached out to WeddingWire, which is like an aggregator site for wedding vendors and stuff, and kind of put what I had in my savings account into advertising and marketing and all of that. And next thing I knew, just word of mouth was really good. And within 3 or 4 years, I was doing weddings. I had multiple crews doing weddings. You know, it was a whole big operation. But ultimately it was that, you know, lack of really feeling like I could be creative. And, you know, weddings are just, they're fun when you're there, but when you're working them, it's a really big push, you know, because you're up and about just nonstop for at least 8 hours, if not more. I think the longest wedding I ever did was like 14 hours. So it can just be a lot, and you just get burned out really easily because it's just so physically demanding.
Yeah. Well, you'd recently mentioned your poetry. In 2021, you self-published a book of poetry entitled Just a Boy Blaming Himself. How did you find poetry as a method of creativity as opposed to filmmaking?
Yeah, so it's kind of a backward scenario when it comes to the creative space with writing versus filmmaking, because it was really writing first. And then I always had an appreciation for film, but it wasn't until I had a close friend in high school who was really, really into film and kind of opened my eyes to the possibility of telling stories, but then also having this visual medium that can complement it. So like poetry had always kind of been there for me. And again, it was one of those things where, you know, I've had little bumps in time where I've just gotten back into it, but something about, you know, the doing so many weddings and feeling a little trapped in that world just kind of reignited this thought of, why don't we try to get this out? So just thanks to, you know, always having a smartphone on me, I downloaded a notepad app. And then anytime I was somewhere kind of feeling a little overwhelmed or just had flashes of creativity, I would just write a poem out, or at least try to get it started and then finish it later. And throughout my 20s, I just kind of saw like, wow, there's tons and tons of poems I wrote. And I was slowly starting to share them more with people. And everybody was always saying like, this is good, you should do something with this. And I just started really doing a lot of research and was able to get all the materials together to make it into a book. And then I sort of just dropped it onto the world unbeknownst, with no marketing plan or strategy or anything. And again, in the way I seem to default in life, I kind of work backwards because I realized, yeah, you can't just drop a book on everybody and expect anything to happen with it. So it was a really great learning experience. And I think the right way to kind of get started back into writing and also putting myself out there, because I'd never really done that before.
Definitely. And speaking about how it all started with writing, I believe you've written a novel as well. Tell us a bit more about Focus Puller.
Yeah, so it's my first novel. Focus Puller is really a story about one individual. His name is Ben, and he's a filmmaker. And it just sort of walks through these small vignettes of his life and moments that have really shaped who he is. And it also takes time to have reflections presented by those he's had relationships with over the years. So they give thoughts, opinions on him and how they've felt with their time with him. So it's sort of a giant kind of character study, and it carries a lot of DNA from moments of my own life. But, you know, there's a lot of liberties taken with stories as well. So it was just one of those things where I was just feeling like I had to get these stories, these small little like pictures of time out onto the page. And while the motive was not to make it sort of nonlinear like it is now, I would just write, and then it all just kind of still flowed pretty well. So it's taken on its own kind of identity just from the exercise of writing it and then also reflecting on it. And, you know, it's definitely been another one of those things in my life where I had to get confidence again with it, because I finished writing it back in the fall, but I really just sat on it because, you know, I wasn't sure if I even wanted to put it out there. There was that debate. And then ultimately having like my heart surgery in January kind of really knocked me down for a while. So like I just had that lack of confidence again. But then as I recovered, I kind of rediscovered like, okay, you know, we got this, we got everything set to go, you know, it's just, we got to do it. And so I pushed myself to get it out there for the summer this year.
Yeah, and that's very common, especially I think recently with world events. Mm-hmm. You're also working on getting two feature films produced. This is incredible. How's this process been?
Oh my goodness. For trying to get a film made, you know, now that I'm on the complete opposite side of everything, on the producing roles and trying to get in with studios and stuff, it amazes me that any film ever gets made, because it's such a tedious, fickle thing. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had to this point with just amazing individuals who give me their time, and I'm incredibly thankful for it. But if the script or anything has something that someone doesn't like, it's that fickle that the conversation will just kind of fizzle out, or they'll give feedback and you'll kind of have to maybe go back and do new drafts and everything like that. So it's just, you know, it's a lot of outreach. It's a lot of trying to get connected with people. And, you know, it's one of those things where obviously money makes everything a lot easier in the film world. If I just had a couple million dollars to get a production started, you know, everybody would be your best friend. But when you're on the other side trying to get financing and trying to at least get a ball rolling in that regard, it's difficult. You know, especially somebody like me who's kind of, you know, I grew up in a very blue collar kind of community. I don't have anybody that I really know that well that's just like, I love what you do, let me write you a check kind of stuff. So it's just been, you know, a lot of research, a lot of learning and growing too. I think it has pushed me to try to be the best writer I can be, because there are just so many individuals out there with scripts that are all trying to do the same thing. So you really have to kind of stand out in a crowd and push yourself to your limits in that regard.
Wow, I had no idea that the whole film industry was like that at all. And I'd say it is opening your eyes massively to that when you're on the opposite side of it, definitely.
Mm-hmm. It's a wild industry, and it's, you know, it's amazing. I say it's like 10% art and 90% politics. So it's really about, you know, just networking, getting to know folks, and, you know, just trying to build your network of people that like what you're doing and are invested in you. And then, you know, that little 10% is, okay, now we have everything we need. Let's go make a movie. And that's the fun part, but it's such a small sliver. It's kind of crazy when it really comes down to it.
Well, I'd say so. Yeah. What advice would you give to anyone who may want to pursue a creative career but feels as though an illness holds them back?
I mean, I tell everybody that I'm always a firm believer that whatever dreams you have out there, things are attainable, things are possible. But I always, like, I guess, warn in the sense to do the due diligence. I mean, I've learned from my own experiences that if you're just kind of trying to dive headfirst into something without paying attention, you know, that's when it doesn't pan out the way you want it to. And you do get that sort of negative feedback, and it kind of makes you not want to keep pushing. So it can really turn into like a bad spiral if you're not careful, and can make you not love what you should be loving. And so I always warn to just say, you know, do the research. Do everything you can to find out as much detail you can about whatever it is you're trying to get into creatively. And then go to events. You know, nowadays with like live streaming, there's so many virtual events that you can just sit in your PJs at home and be a part of. and listen to people who have been more into it than anyone you probably know, and just learn so much. And on the illness side of things, it is one of those obstacles that makes everything much, much more challenging, of course. But I think as long as you kind of find your rhythm and find what little bits work for you, like I know when I was recovering from my surgery, I was having really severe brain fog. And it was one of those things where I knew that if I was on the computer for too long, it was going to just mess up the entire day from then on. So I would kind of look at the clock and say, okay, you know, 30 minutes, and that's going to be my limit. And when I did that, I could, you know, revisit in like an hour or so and do another 30 minutes. And so when you find those like bubbles where you feel good and can manage to make it work, you know, find that routine. And I feel like those are the things that can help you take on bigger steps, you know, step by step. And that's the other part of it, is not feeling overwhelmed by the process of anything. It's all about building blocks. And, you know, I always compare it to a house, where it's just like, you're not building a house all in one go. You know, you're getting your foundation, you're getting your subfloors, and then you just slowly keep going up from there. And it's the same thing, illness or not, in any creative field.
Yeah, that's brilliant advice. Wow. My last question for you, Daniel, is where would you like to see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, I really hope that I'm in the same place I am. I love where I live. I'm near the water. It's beautiful. The only thing I don't like is when it gets cold. I'm not a cold guy. I'm a summer boy. So if I could just be somewhere in the winter months, like south or something where it's warm, I'll take it eventually. But really, what I'd love to be able to do is just be able to produce films and write stories and just make a simple living off of that. And if I can do that in 5 years' time, heck, if I could do that at any point in my life, I'd be pretty ecstatic. But in 5 years, if that was what happens, then it would just be amazing. And so, yeah, so that's the easiest answer. In 5 years, I just hope I can do this completely full time and tour and talk to people about my writing and share stories of my own with others and keep giving advice. I just love everything that comes with the creative process. So to have that sort of an opportunity would just be amazing.
Oh, that's brilliant, Daniel. Thank you so much for joining me.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.